It's April 25th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got four briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, U.S. weapons are now on their way to Ukraine. Joe Biden just signed that into law. But the Russian government is warning that they will destroy that stuff once it lands in Europe. We will discuss that coming up. Second, protests on U.S. college campuses are expanding this morning, but now they're being joined by a new set of protesters who say that they are going to make your life miserable starting this summer. I'll explain who they are and why they're going to do it. Third, the Chinese app TikTok must now be sold in but 9 months' time. But meanwhile, U.S. politicians will continue to use it. That includes the White House. I've got those details in a bit. Fourth, Democrats are hard at work this morning trying to register young people for this fall's elections, except not all of them, just black folks, not so much Hispanic or Asian. I'll tell you why. Later, a listener question today about espionage. We will cover what an ops test is and how that might shape whether or not we go to war in Europe. But before we get to that, let us get to our top stories of the morning. Joe Biden has signed America's latest aid packages for a bunch of foreign wars, including the war in Ukraine. His signature comes after the U.S. Senate overwhelmingly passed the bill for Ukraine and others, 79-18. Included is $60 billion for Ukraine, from weapons to economic aid. That could include for things like government pensions or cash for Ukraine's farmers. Additionally, there are billions more, about $38 billion or so, for Taiwan, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific region. As expected, the White House announced that a bunch of weapons will be shipped within the next 24 hours. There will be $1 billion worth of weaponry that will mostly be 155 artillery shells, plus some rocket launchers, Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, and tactical vehicles. The U.S. may also continue some secret shipments of long-range ATACMS missiles. Reuters and Politico are reporting this morning that clandestine shipments of those ATACMS began back in February after the White House warned Russia that it might send those more aggressive weapons if Putin continued to attack Ukrainian utility systems, and he did. The ATACMS, by the way, give Ukraine the ability to fire deeper into Russian territory, about 200 miles. The White House had been worried that Ukraine might use those to target Russian cities or infrastructure, especially and including that energy infrastructure like the refineries. So up until February, the White House had held off, but no longer. The Ukrainians now have those ATACMS and their longer ranges, plus their long-range drones as well. Meanwhile, back in Washington yesterday, there was mostly great joy at the passage of this long-delayed bill for war aid to Ukraine. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer apparently called Ukraine's president, Mr. Volodymyr Zelensky, and told him, quote, "Now go win the fight," end quote. But as the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, that will continue to be a challenge because Ukraine lacks the soldiers to fight. As Zelensky's party is acknowledging this morning, getting younger men to fight has proven to be, quote, "an unpopular decision," end quote. Additionally, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times are reporting that most of Ukraine's population is over the age of 50 or under the age of 18. That means that there aren't a lot of young men to work with. And that is leading Ukraine to try some creative measures this morning to get those otherwise reluctant younger men to fight. That includes kidnappings and beatings until they agree to enlist. On a related note, the Washington Post reported on Tuesday that Ukraine is now suspending consular services at their embassies abroad for their young men who left the country for either Europe or the United States. Those young men can no longer get their passports renewed or get other essential services. Instead, they have to come home first to fight in the war. One final critical thing to flag for you this morning. As Washington, D.C. cheered this latest aid package yesterday, the Russian government weighed in with a, less than charitable reaction. Moscow said initially that they would work to ensure that this war becomes another Vietnam for the United States. Also, they promised to increase strikes on Ukraine, especially targeting the weapons depots where the U.S. war materiel will soon arrive. And that is likely to happen based on what we know they have done previously. For example, Russia has been rebuilding its spy and sabotage networks throughout Europe, including in Poland and Romania, where these U.S. weapons will first arrive. In fact, to that point, some of Moscow's saboteurs were discovered last August in Poland, getting ready to do some damage. So we should reasonably expect for some suspicious explosions and dead people throughout places like Poland and Romania this coming spring and summer. With those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. I encourage us this morning to think about four individual facts and what they might mean when you put them together. So first, we've got the provision of $60 billion new dollars in war aid, especially and including those Atacms. Second, Ukraine continues to lack the soldiers that they need to fire those weapons. They are having to resort to arresting and kidnapping and beating young men into submission. Third, Russia continues its aggression this morning, adding 30,000 new soldiers a month to the war theater. And fourth, Russia is promising to attack weapons depots with its saboteurs, and not just inside of Ukraine, but also Poland and Romania, which are obviously NATO allies. So you put that together, folks, and what you have is a new phase of this war, and it is far more dangerous, because there are likely to be more mistakes and more miscalculations as everybody starts to ramp up more aggressive behavior. And that is certainly true for the Russians. They're going to do it. But also for the Ukrainians, because they have to show their people, they have to show their young men, that there is a chance that Kiev might just win this thing. So look, as ever, I can't tell you what's going to happen next. But with no peace deal on the horizon, nor any interest in the West of ever having peace negotiations, my low to medium confidence this morning assessment is that NATO troops will be involved in this conflict. And I mean that directly, overtly, and inside of Ukraine. And that is fundamentally because somebody has got to throw meat into the grinder. And that is not going to be Ukraine, because there's not enough meat. They need young bodies somewhere. And those are probably going to be found in either Europe or the United States or both. And I think that reality is likely to be made very clear very soon. And I think we're going to have a pretty nasty debate on both sides of the Atlantic trying to justify that decision. We shall see. And with that, we turn to our second report of the morning. Protests are growing on U.S. college campuses throughout America this morning. On the surface, the debate continues to be about the war in Gaza. It is, of course, being justified by pro-Hamas and Marxist groups to bring in various activists. There are now lots of these protests happening in universities from New York to California and a bunch of states in between. As but one latest example, we've got Princeton University. Marxist and Islamic groups there are promising students on campus that they will have access to free legal representation if they get arrested. Plus, as the National Review is reporting for us, there is no concern for these students about being expelled for protesting. That is because these pro-Palestinian or pro-Marxist groups, they have faculty members who are on the committees that decide which or if any students get expelled. Convenient. For what it's worth, that same degree of support is being offered by Marxists to other students in places like Texas, Ohio, and other universities in California, New York, and Massachusetts this morning. Although speaking of Texas, I should note that Texas Governor Greg Abbott is not having any of this. He sent in police yesterday to University of Texas at Austin to arrest some protesters. Scuffles did ensue. We also have more information and confirmation this morning of the radical Islamic and Marxist roots of these protests. We have additional reporting on the involvement of the Palestinian Solidarity Committee and the Students for Justice in Palestine, or SJP. As I shared with you yesterday, SJP has long been known for its anti-Semitic views and their support of Hamas, including the October 7th terror attacks. Well, we've got fresh reporting that confirms that SJP also embraces Marxism and their views of things like black liberation, gender and sexual freedom, and a livable and sustainable planet. That comes from their website and from their senior leaders. They also say that they are eager and willing to conduct what they call direct action against capitalism and colonialism. And they are not alone. There is another set of leftists that are planning to build off of the Gaza protests that you need to know about, and they're going to do it this summer. The goal is to make you as miserable as possible. Climate activists with the group called Climate Defiance announced yesterday that they will launch a series of major summer protests to force some progress on the climate change debate. Quote, "Our entire world faces imminent catastrophe. Congress has the power to save millions, even billions of lives. The fact that they haven't already ended fossil fuel subsidies is shameful. We are protesting this summer to send a message. We will do whatever it takes to force those in power to end fossil fuels, end quote. That will include protesting at a congressional baseball game, they said, with the summertime goal of making lives miserable everywhere. They also added this, folks. Listen here. Quote, when we engage in direct action, whether through a strike, a blockade, or a mass occupation, we break through the messaging. Direct action puts the state or the government in a double bind. They either allow the action and our disruption to continue, or they crack down, further driving up public support for our cause, end quote. And that helps explain what we are seeing on college and university campuses all throughout the country this morning. Direct action by fellow Marxist groups that are either causing disruption and misery, or it allows for images of police crackdowns getting physical with the protesters. These guys then use that for propaganda purposes to drive up public support, certainly amongst Democrats, for their cause. In other words, that cause could be lots of things, whether that be the Palestinian cause, the climate, or Marxism in general. So with those facts and data, let me offer you my quick analysis and opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, you are living in the middle of a Marxist revolution. It is political, it is economic, and it is cultural. And what's important for you to know is one of the sentences that I just used that the Marxist used. All right, quote, we will do whatever it takes to force those in power to end fossil fuels, end quote. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. That's the moment. That's the revolution. And if folks aren't aware of what that means, please be advised that it is very ugly. Marxist movements and governments have killed over 160 million people, as I shared with you yesterday. That includes from the Chinese to the Cambodians, from Venezuela to Cuba, from the Soviet Union to Vietnam. That's the history. And now it is here. It is coming to a campus, a highway, or a Capitol building near you. I wish that weren't the case, ladies and gentlemen, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there it is. It's not just coming. It is here. And with that, let us take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. We'll be right back. Over the past few weeks, you all know that I got the stinking cold, then I got a sinus infection. But as I did, I was at peace because I knew I had antibiotics at the ready from JaceMedical.com. All I had to do was have a quick phone call with my doctor. I got the green light to use them, and that was it. There was no pulling myself out of bed, driving to the pharmacy, hoping it was ready. I was ready at home. And that's why I love Jace Medical. They provide you all kinds of prescription medications delivered right to your door. And it's so easy. Just go to jacemedical.com, fill out a very simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get your medications. In some cases, you'll have a quick phone call with one of their board-certified physicians to make sure you are getting exactly what you need. But regardless, it is a great service. So go to jacemedical.com. That's J-A-S-E medical.com. And you will enter a promo code. Of course, it is right at checkout. And you are going to get a great discount when you do. Again, folks, that's promo code right at J-A-S-E medical.com. And do this today because there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. About 3 months ago, I got my dad to do me a favor. He tried a hearing aid from mdhearingaid.com. Now, he didn't want to exactly because like a lot of men, he said he didn't need them. But he kind of did. And that's because, like a lot of working men and women, he spent his life farming, ranching, and logging. And decades of that really harmed his hearing. So he did me a favor. He tried the Neo Access model from MD Hearing. And folks, it dramatically improved his quality of life. He could finally turn down the TV instead of running the family out of the living room. He could enjoy supper at restaurants with us and actually hear the conversations and participate. And the best part for him was that nobody could tell he was wearing them. That was his big fear, that the hearing aids would be these big old clunky things, and that just wasn't the case. So if you or a loved one have worked the fields in the factories of this country and your hearing has suffered as well, do what my family did. Go to shopmdhearing.com and try out one of their four models for a 45-day risk-free trial plus 100% money-back guarantee. And when you use promo code TWR, like The Right Report, you can get one of their new pairs for only $297 plus a free extra charging case, which is a $100 value. Again, folks, I'm telling you, go to shopmdhearing.com, use that promo code TWR, and pick the model that suits your budget, because I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Again, that's shopmdhearing.com. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with more domestic news. First, the Chinese-backed social media company called TikTok is in trouble. Joe Biden signed a package of bills yesterday, including one that would force the sale of TikTok from its Chinese owners to an American owner. And that has to be done by law within the next 9 months. Now, as I briefed on previously, the justification for this is as follows. TikTok's parent company, it's called ByteDance. They have worked with the Communist Party of China to provide some very sensitive data about their users for intelligence purposes. That is according to former employees and whistleblowers. Meanwhile, and for what it's worth, other governments around the world have found this to be true as well, and that includes the government of India. And that is why, as of this morning, TikTok will be banned in America in 9 months' time, or it's going to be transferred in terms of its ownership to an American entity. Well, not surprisingly, TikTok is outraged this morning. They are promising to sue to stop the sale of their company. And that means that the end of the Chinese ownership will probably take some time. In other words, Beijing's app will remain the place where young people of this country get their news and entertainment, at least for a while, which probably helps explain this. The White House announced yesterday that it will continue to use TikTok to reach young Americans. As NBC News reported, Mr. Biden's approval numbers are terrible amongst this young group of voters, and he needs to leverage China's app to reach them. Well, when asked about the national security implications of using this alleged Chinese spy tool, the Biden campaign did not exactly address the national security concern, but rather said this, quote, "A fragmented media environment requires us to show up and meet voters where they are, and that includes TikTok," end quote. Now, to be fair, Mr. Biden's opponent, Donald Trump, is coming to TikTok's defense. He said on his social media platform, Truth Social, that, quote, "Just so everybody knows, especially the young people, crooked Joe Biden is responsible for banning TikTok," end quote. Well, that probably suggests that Mr. Trump is angling for these same young voters as well, trying to get them fired up at Biden for banning TikTok. Now, as those candidates vie for the attention of America's young people, polls show that if those folks are asked about Biden or Trump, the response is, eh. That's because earlier this week, NBC News polling showed that there is a 20-year low of interest in this year's presidential election. That's because both Biden and Trump have very high disapproval ratings, which is leading to only 36% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 showing high interest in this fall's election. By the way, interest in the election is fairly strong outside of that younger age bracket, but even still, it's fairly low as compared to previous elections. Well, no deep analysis for you on this one, folks. Just one observation. It is very difficult, I think, for the American people to take seriously the China threat when we've got leaders who say that China is bad in one breath, but in the next, they say, well, maybe not that bad. And that conflicting message is going to really bite some of us pretty hard, because some folks out there are not going to take the China threat seriously. And for those who don't, well, they better start looking at their TikToks right now. Maybe some tips on how to start a fire or cooked by moonlight after China and their cyber hackers shut down modern life and take our electricity. Just a thought, not a promise, just a guess. Finally this morning, and speaking of politics and young people, Democrats are hard at work this morning trying to get young folks registered to vote this fall. But not all young people, just mostly black folks, not the Asians or Hispanics. Well, let's talk about that. Here's what we know. The Washington Post reports on a secret memo that's circulating amongst Democrat organizers in Washington, D.C., and they say that they've got a problem, and here it is. Because the economy is not so great for young people, many are considering giving their vote to the independent candidate that is Robert Kennedy Jr., or to Republican Donald Trump. The leftist group Open Labs fears that as Democrats are registering these younger folks to vote, they might register young people who then go on to support somebody other than Biden, and that could include Trump. Quote, if we are to blindly register non-voters and get them on the rolls, we would distinctly be aiding Donald Trump's quest for a personal dictatorship, end quote. Now, the key there is blindly registering young voters. So this organization, the Democrat Open Labs, says that the way to fix that issue of blindly registering people is to focus mostly on young black people, because they argue that virtually always those folks vote for Democrats. That is not true, they say, of Hispanics or Asians. Plus, the folks at Open Labs say that there is an added benefit for just going after black voters. That is, they're cheap. It only costs Open Labs about $575 per voter to get those people registered. That includes staff time, phone calls, and emails and the like. But with Asians and Hispanics, they are much more expensive to find and register, around $1,200 a vote. So the leftist group, that is to say Open Labs, they argued in this secret memo that it is better to spend dollars on the reliable black voters and not the more risky Asians and Hispanics. For what it's worth, the Washington Post noted that some leftist groups reacted to this sort of black-only proposal with very strong approval, but others greeted it with outrage, especially, as you would guess, Asian and Hispanic Democrats. They said it is racist to do this because it ends up pitting one minority group against the other. And that, according to these Democrats, is what the Republicans do, not Democrats. Well, with those facts and data, let me offer you my quick analysis and opinion. Politics is an ugly business, isn't it? But I think it's pretty remarkable to see it so plainly, down to the dollar and the race. I think that is important for us to remember this morning as we think about who and how these activists out there are getting people and voters into the registers, and they're hoping to get them to the polls this coming November. Folks, it is going to be ugly, inflammatory, and frankly driven by some of the worst of our natures, and that's just the Democrats. So put on your muck boots, because we've still got 6 more months to go. And with that, we conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. Folks, if you are in the market for insurance policies, whether that be life insurance or home, auto, or disability, I want to tell you about a company that I use. It's called PolicyGenius.com. They will help you find the most affordable insurance that's out there with partners like Nationwide, Prudential, and Travelers Insurance. I recently used PolicyGenius to look at life insurance policies because, well, you never know. And with PolicyGenius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. And some insurance options offer you same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. And while that is great news, even better news from my perspective is that PolicyGenius is a time saver. Their website makes it easy to compare different insurance policies of all kinds, including that life insurance, with just a few clicks of your mouse. So my bottom line is that our loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and we can give them that with things like life insurance from PolicyGenius.com. So head to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save today. Go to PolicyGenius.com. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text WRIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, WRIGHT to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's WRIGHT 265532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. Welcome back to The Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It's a listener question sent to us from one of my donors. Jerry is his name. He is not a subscriber, but he donated via my Stripe account, which you can find, by the way, in the show notes. Jerry said, Brian, on Monday, you mentioned the words ops test. It was in relation to the intelligence that apparently persuaded House Speaker Mike Johnson to switch from no aid to Ukraine to give him $60 billion. Now, you said that you would have to dig into the intel to figure out what was so convincing to him and whether or not it was even accurate. You said that you would figure that out by doing things like an ops test. So what is that? What is ops testing? Jerry, this is a really great question and incredibly important. And it is absolutely something that Speaker Johnson should have done and talked about when he got this intel that allegedly said that Vladimir Putin is going to go into Poland or into the Baltics after he wraps up with Ukraine, sort of just like, say, Hitler would have done. So let's talk about ops testing. And to do this, let's bring back the conversation that we started back on February 14th. That was a great episode, in case you missed it. Valerie from Danbury, Connecticut, had asked about what I talked about, degrees of confidence, and what that means when we look at an intel. So bringing back that conversation, or thinking about it, let us go back to the thought experiment that we used in February. That means that we are going to go back to CIA headquarters this morning, and you are going to serve as an intel analyst and I as your spy instructor, shall we say. So let's begin with this. When an intel analyst like you has to make a judgment or an assessment about something, let's say the probability that Vladimir Putin is going to march into the Baltics or Poland after Ukraine, analysts like you will cobble together all the intel that the U.S. government has on that matter, sort of like a puzzle. And the pieces might come from the CIA, the NSA, the State Department, the Pentagon, and a whole bunch of others. And that is ultimately because each agency or department provides different kinds of puzzle pieces or types of intelligence. So the NSA, for example, they have electronic data like phone calls or emails. That's called SIGINT. Or the Pentagon, they might have soil samples or some air samples. That is called MASINT. There's also the stuff that's collected by the State Department. Now, that includes, say, foreign newspapers or academic journals. That's called OSINT. Then there's the stuff that comes from the CIA, where you work this morning as an analyst. The agency is best known for the intel that originates from humans, called HUMINT. And that was my old world. I recruited human spies and stole secrets, and then I gave that information to you, the analyst, to figure out the bigger picture by using that one puzzle piece with all the rest of the stuff. But here's the deal. All HUMINT is not the same. That's because humans are not all the same. As it turns out, most of us are nasty little creatures. Some humans lie about who they are. Some lie about what they do, either the type of work that they do or where they work. And some are actually told to lie about all those things because actually they're double agents. They agree to work for the CIA, but secretly they're working for the Russians. They then try to give false information to people like me out in the field to throw us off a track or waste our time or ultimately confuse American leaders. And so that's why people like me, which are called operations officers or case officers, we are trained on how to constantly vet those people and their information. And to do that, we use something called operational tests or ops tests. Unfortunately, I cannot get into the details of what that might entail, but you can probably guess that it involves a lot of sneaky, very fun tests and tricks. And those collectively then confirm, say, an asset's identity or access to information, or the veracity of that information. So then the key takeaway is this. Ops testing is incredibly important because it tells you whether the asset or the foreign agent, in other words, is legitimate, whether their intel is high quality, and whether or not you might have any counterintelligence issues like a double agent or some hidden influences. But here's a dirty little secret that the CIA does not want you to know. The ops test is only as good as the operations officer who conducts it. Because sometimes you have a bad or a marginal ops officer or case officer who comes up with a very poor quality test. Or maybe they execute the test, but they do it poorly. And then they stretch the truth and report the results incorrectly. Now, maybe they do that for, say, a desire to get a good promotion or make sure that everybody thinks they have a great case when that's not the truth. Hypothetically, of course. So to understand why that then becomes a problem, let's go back to our thought experiment. So you are the analyst sitting at your desk. You're looking at all those intel puzzle pieces. You've got the SIGINT, the MAZINT, the OSINT, and of course the HUMINT. Well, as you explore the HUMINT puzzle, how do you know if those op tests were good or properly reported? Because that then informs your judgment as to the quality of the intel and your confidence in your assessment of, say, Putin invading parts of Europe. In other words, you might think that you're looking at really great intel with some great, good, wonderful ops testing, when actually it's just trash. Because obviously in this case, you are not a trained ops officer. You are an analyst. So then you look at me and you think, oh, I'm sure it's good stuff. And then you write that down and you assess that the intel is great and your predictions or your assessments are high confidence. You then pass that on to the president or House Speaker Mike Johnson. Oopsie. What if they then use that to start a war? Oopsie again. By the way, this has happened. The one public example that you can actually explore is from a guy named, codenamed Curveball. So the upshot is you can thank that guy and his operations officers who worked with him and the analysts who looked at his stuff, because collectively they helped launch the war in Iraq with absolutely bogus intel that was not properly vetted. Oopsie. So that's what concerns me about Speaker Johnson and his sudden change of heart. He just spent $60 billion on a foreign war, and he, of course, abandoned our southern border in doing that, because he said he read the intel. But as you can now appreciate, there is no such thing as the intel. It is an imperfect product that requires serious scrutiny with very experienced ops officers, experienced analysts, who have not only the experience, but the judgment as to understand whether or not we should trust it and whether our leadership should trust it as well. So great question. Thank you for writing in, and especially thanks for your donation. It means a lot. And with that, folks, if you would like to do what Jerry did, donate via my Stripe account, you will find a link for that in the show notes. Just make sure that when you do, leave your email and I'll be in touch. Otherwise, to ask me a question, go to writereport.substack.com, sign up, and at the bottom of each day's Substack post, you can leave me a comment or ask me a question. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.